Inside DJ's DVR, a television and film podcast, part of the DVR Podcast Network.
Thanks for joining me. You're here for another episode of Inside DJ's DVR. You're here with me, DJ Tim Hines, and I'm bringing it to you. Hope you've all been well. Hope you've had a good time since you've last heard the podcast. And I hope you're ready to get into some DVR talk. What's inside the DVR inside my skull? Yes, this is the DJ's DVR. Inside DJ's DVR. Something I came up with and I pitched it and I became part of the DVR Podcasting Network. If you want to know more about us, head over to DVRpodcast.com. And they have all the links and all the descriptions of all the shows that they produce. It's a very good source. We're growing by the day, by the week, by the month. We keep getting more ideas and more people coming through to us. And it's been a really great experience. If you want to get to them, you could. All the links are on there and you could hit them up. DVRpodcast.com. You could also go to our Patreon feed, patreon.com/DVR. Now over there, you're going to get special sneak peek previews of all the podcasts we put out, as well as special Patreon-only content. So if you become a Patreon subscriber and you know you like us, you'll get the updates when the pods come out. But also, you have the option of donating and becoming a patron to us, to the DVR Podcast Network. And it helps pay for different things that we need. And you could donate some money and get exclusive podcasts. That's right. The founder of the DVR Podcast Network, Axel Foley, has been putting out some great little mini pods. And he's been bringing the heat. They've been so entertaining and so much fun. But they're only exclusive on Patreon. So check that out, patreon.com/DVR. As for this show, you're here, Inside DJ's DVR. I got a Twitter, a Facebook, a Gmail. I'll give you all that right now. On Facebook, facebook.com/DJDVRPodcast. Twitter is @DJDVRPodcast. And then if you want to get to me on email, write something longer, get in depth, maybe share some photos of screenshots or whatever you want to get into, djdvrpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, that's all the socials and links and stuff you can get at us. We got a lot of great shows. And like I said, there's a couple of Patreon exclusives out there. If you're into the Cowboys, Heath and Hispanic Chris, going old school, talking radio style, like some sports analysts and talking about their favorite team, the Cowboys, and also how it relates to, you know, the season in general. So if you like that, check that out too. We got a lot of really cool stuff over there. I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm proud to be doing a podcast that people actually listen to. I appreciate all of you. You know, everybody that supports us, Sandra, you know, like really appreciate you. And we got Joe Bear, who's a big supporter of the show. You know, Michael, I know you're out there listening. I know you don't really hit me up yet, but I know you will one day when you get it all in. I know Axel's been listening, giving me good feedback. All the guys at the podcast network. And, you know, it's been great. I've been getting some, you know, great emails from overseas, from the United States, all over the globe. Peter is over out in Australia. I mean, it's just been great. Christine's out there in Wales. Susan's out there in Europe. And Sandra's out there in Europe. We got, you know, covering the whole globe, which is really cool. I like to get some feedback and, you know, shoot the shit with people from other cultures and other cable access. So, speaking of cable access, I watched a few shows on cable on the DVR that were recorded. But this week primarily focuses on Netflix. I went heavy. I watched all 13 episodes of The Punisher. And I'll get into that in a little bit. You know, now I'm just getting warmed up, you know, loosening up. I'm in the bullpen, throwing a little bit, talking to you guys, just bringing it. you know, telling you what's on my mind, what's going on for the week. It's been good. I've just been hanging out. We had Thanksgiving here in the United States, which is a holiday that we celebrate things we're thankful for. It has origins related to the founding of the United States and when the pilgrims first came and broke bread with the natives that were here. And the story goes a little haywire, no matter, you know, what angle you're looking at it from there. But it turned into some holiday that we celebrate, and pretty much, you know, I don't really think about the historical relevance of it. I just look at it as another day to spend with family and have a good time and eat some turkey and be gluttonous. I myself don't really partake in a lot of the side dishes because I'm a very picky eater. So that's, I'm going to save that for the eating podcast. But for Thanksgiving, it's a good time to be with family. And it's a good time to have food if you like that kind of thing. And in the United States, and I'm sure across the globe where it airs, they play football. We get some special games. Always get a Lions game, Detroit Lions. And those are Michael and Otis's boys out there in Detroit from the What Up Doe podcast. They played well, but couldn't bring it. Couldn't finish off the Vikings. The Vikings won. Then the Cowboys came up and just put up a stinker. Oh my goodness. It just was bad. The two teams that always play on Thanksgiving just let us down. But then we had a fun game at night. It was the Giants and the Redskins, and capped off a good night of football. Then, you know, spent some time with some friends at night. It was really good Thursday of last week for me. I didn't watch that much TV as far as the box, but I watched football, which consumed most of the day of watching. And then they have this ridiculous Black Friday, they call it here in the United States. It's where all the stores go crazy and try to give you all these wild sales, and people line up at 6 a.m. and 3 a.m. and stores open now at midnight and 8 p.m. on the night before on Thursday, and it's becoming, you know, crazier and crazier, and the deals are there. A lot of times people I know just wind up shopping for themselves because it's a lot easier to know what you want when it's a high ticket item and then when you're shopping for little things, but it's mayhem. I really, the last, you know, decade or so, I've so grown fond of ordering things online, on the internet, just so much easier. You don't have to wait online and deal with people. And although I do enjoy, you know, interacting with sales clerks and things and people who work, because I don't want to, you know, have everybody lose a job to a machine and, you know, just get deliveries, but it is convenient. But yeah, it was mayhem. I did go out Thursday night, hit a couple stores real fast with my lady, and wound up getting a Christmas present for myself. See, everybody shops for themselves, but I'm not getting it until Christmas, which is, I'll tell you about it on that podcast, on the holiday podcast. Yes. So I'm trying to get it for Hanukkah. We'll see how that goes, but I don't think it's happening. I celebrate all holidays, whatever holiday I can, whatever holiday people celebrate that I'm around, I'll celebrate with them, because I just like people's holidays and cultures and rituals, and I respect it all. So it's all fun. And, you know, I take all the religious stuff out of it, and I just celebrate and have a good time and be merry and cheerful this time of year, because it's cold here in the United States, in the Northern Hemisphere, in New York, and I got a sweatshirt on right now and a little Henley underneath that and a t-shirt underneath that, and I'm chilly, and it's not even that cold yet here, but I don't like the cold. And, you know, December is like the last chance of the year for me to get a little bit of warmth, and then winter kicks in here. So I try to be merry if I can. And that's it. That's what I did. I had a crazy week. It was a little hectic, but I barreled in some shows. I got in the Punisher, and I'm here to talk with you guys. I couldn't bring it last week because it just was kind of hectic, doing some things with friends and family and setting things up and making maneuvers and delivering things and whatnot. You don't need to hear about all that because you're probably bored already and you're like, damn, I tuned in for this podcast and this guy's not even talking about TV yet. So, we'll get to some TV.
Let's see what's in the box. It's time for grab the remote and press play.
Yeah, I hit that play button a bunch this week, and I watch a bunch of shows. So, give you a little brief summary of what I watched. One was a really excellent documentary on HBO. I think I told you a little bit about it that I started it last time. It's just called Spielberg. It was on HBO, and I thought it was excellent. I finished that up. It just chronicles the life of Steven Spielberg, how meticulous he is and where he came from and his roots growing up and how that all portrays into all his films. And he puts himself into all the films he makes, which is pretty incredible. And I happen to like all Steven Spielberg's films. And I think that they're a lot of fun and they just make you feel something with some character in all his casts. You could definitely relate to somebody, and he has a way of just touching you. So it was a really nice documentary. It was a little long, it was like 2.5 hours, but it spans his career. It took me a little while to watch, so two or three viewings to get through the whole thing, because I kept pausing it and wanted to watch other things and that type of stuff. But it was very good. I enjoyed it. I recommend it if you like Spielberg or if you like filmmaking. It gives you a really good insight to how he interprets his life through his lens. Spielberg documentary on HBO. I forgot who directed it. Otherwise, I'd tell you, and I don't feel like looking it up, but you can. They have this site called IMDb. It stands for the Internet Movie Database, and it gives you all types of information about any kind of movie, film, actor, director, screen worker, production person, producer, anybody in the industry, it's on there. So if you ever have questions and you didn't know about that, www.imdb.com. This has been a free plug for imdb.com. All right, yeah, got that out. So then I watched Gotham. This week's episode was cool. It was called Let Them Eat Pie. Now, the Professor Pig's been out there hunting down all the bad cops, and this time he got all the people of the high society together who are corrupt, and he got some cops, and he wound up putting them into dishes and trying to force the police to eat them all. And our savior of the day comes out, Captain Gordon, and helps out and saves everybody. But it was pretty gruesome. It was a very cool episode. I liked this one. I liked where it was going. You saw a couple different changes from the Penguin and Sophia's relationship. She has this fundraiser and he doesn't believe anything she's doing. So now he's, trying to find out her angle. The old captain's, what's his name? I can't think of his name. Donald Logue's character. But he gets pissed off at Gordon, and you see a little resentment and how the job's going to be tough for Gordon. So that was, I enjoyed watching this week's episode of Gotham. Let's see here. What else did I get into? All right. I watched a new show on Viceland. I've told you many times, one of my favorite networks. And it's called Most Expensivest. It's hosted by 2 Chainz. He's a rapper out here in the United States. And he's known for being extravagant and having lots of chains and bling and expensive stuff. And they made a show with him. And it's called Most Expensivest. And episode 1, he went out with Action Bronson. And they went to a steakhouse that's actually here in New York City. It's called the Homestead Steakhouse. It's one of the oldest steakhouses. And they had some extravagant dinner. They had this wild Wagyu beef that comes from Japan that is only... apparently, this place is the only place that's allowed to sell it. It's like prize Wagyu, they called it. Well, it was $350 for a 12-ounce steak a la carte. These guys had a tremendous meal with the owner and, I guess, head chef, and it was a pretty cool episode. This guy also wound up bringing out these wings that were $4,500 for the order. It was like, I think, four or six wings, and they had these it's ridiculous stuff on it. Like Louis the 13th encrusted, like shards of truffles and all these different ridiculous expensive glazes and wild concoctions on top of these wings. And they had the whole plate. Everybody was taking some, and it wasn't my thing. I don't like a lot of wild food. I think I mentioned before, I'm a picky eater, but it was wild to see that stuff like this exists for those who can live the life. If you can live the life, I'd like to join you just to see this stuff in person, because it's pretty cool to me seeing this. But yeah, it was a cool episode. Then he had, let's see, what else was the other thing? Oh yeah, he went and had a donut. I think the company was in LA, I believe. And it was a gold encrusted donut. And the donut cost $1,000 for the donut. It was like infused with jelly with Louis the 13th, and it was just ridiculous. There was one for $100, and then there was one for $1,000. And the $1,000 was given as a gift to 2 Chainz, and he ate it, and it was just crazy. You could see the gold flake like flapping around. It was definitely interesting. And this show, it kind of grew on me. I like it. I didn't think I was going to like it. I thought it might be silly, but I liked it. And I watched another episode. The second episode, I didn't write it down, but let me jog my memory real fast. And that's not too easy. Let me do calculations. Bing, 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 bing. Oh, yeah, the second episode. So it was like about lifestyle treatment. So they went to this gym in New York City. It's an exclusive gym that has like the best trainers in the world, and it's four levels in a building of extravaganza. I think, is that like too many extravagances? But it's the most expensivest on this show. So that's how, you know, we'll get down with the lingo. We'll talk a little silly. But yeah, so back to that episode, this gym has one level's a gym. One level is like this beautiful restaurant. One level is quarters where you could stay. One level is like a lounge, and it's a private club. It costs $50,000 to $70,000 just to become a member. Then it costs, I believe, anywhere from $7,500 to $15,000 for the year membership. And then every service is a la carte. So like they said you want a bowl of fruit, and that's, you know, addition. So like at the end of the year, you're getting whapped with a bill. So I guess if you're hosting a dinner and you have your people come up, bam, you're getting a bill. But if you got that money and you got that lifestyle, invite me, you know, we'll broadcast. I'll do a little segment from that spot. But it was really cool to see how the other half lives. Then he went to some wild spa where they gave him this ridiculously expensive facial. I forget what this stuff was even made of, but they let, you know, his girl actually, or his friend, get the facial, and it was just ridiculous expensive. So it's a fun show. 2 Chainz is actually a really good host. I was surprised, because some of his songs like are really bizarre. You know, he's got some hits that like everybody knows. I just can't remember right now. But yeah, so I didn't know if like him hosting a show would be cool, but it's cool, and they live it up. So it's going to be fun to see stuff that I can never have, but he does it fun, and he doesn't make it seem like snobby, and he makes it seem like you could get there if you, you know, sell a few million records. People don't even sell records anymore. Well, actually they do, but it's got to be like a good record. But people aren't buying too many records unless they're like, it's like a niche thing, but that's like for the record podcast. But yeah, back to the DVR. Oh, what did I watch? I watched a show on Viceland. We're still at Viceland, called Bon Appetit. It's a show that has all cooking with weed stuff. It's in California, and they have like this kitchen of all these ridiculous things that are like scientific that I never even thought existed, weed concoctions and crystals and powders and extracts and oils and buds and leaves and all this crazy stuff that they fuse with food. I wound up watching two episodes this week. I watched one that was a full Shabbat dinner, and they made chicken and matzo ball soup infused with weed stuff. It was just crazy, crazy, crazy. And then the other episode was a Japanese food episode where they had this really nice, famous sushi chef and from LA. And he was making all this wild concoctions with fish. They went out fishing and they actually caught a yellowtail tuna and some other fish, and the chef made it right there, and they were making all these weed concoctions. And in the end, they all ate it and were all baked out of their heads, and it's pretty funny to watch. So if you want to laugh, it's a half hour show. Abdullah Saeed is the host. It's pretty cool. I've seen a few episodes. I don't watch it on the regular, but I watched it. Yeah, that's called Bon Appetit. Again, Viceland. I love that. The network, they just come out with some fun, like, different things that you normally wouldn't get. I watched Jesus and Miro, as usual. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember too many standout episodes, but it was good. Even tonight's episode, I forget who the hell was on. Tonight, they had... not me, so I can't remember, but whatever. It's a good show. Watch it. You know what it is? Like, I watch it, and I don't write it down when I watch it. So I'm going to just tell you about Jesus and Miro. I tell you about it all the time. They have guests on every night. But they don't put that guests in the program notes. So I go to the program notes after I watch all the stuff to make my list right before the show. And I'm like, damn. Like, they're not in there. So I'm not going to go watch each one and rewrite it. Sometimes I'll remember. Sometimes I don't. Tonight I don't. You know? Maybe talking about the Bon Appetit show fried my brain. But Viceland was good. I enjoyed them. They made me laugh. A lot of crazy shit going on in the world. So, you know, when they're on and I can laugh, I'll take it. Take what I can get. I watched The Good Doctor. Again, very good. I enjoyed it very much. I like The Good Doctor. I like Dr. Sean Murphy. If you watch it, you'll get that. I believe I watched two episodes since we last spoke. I don't remember the exact... what was the last episode about? I don't know. But this episode that I watched actually last night was really good. It really kind of had... you know, I told you earlier on about... was a little leery about the ABC bringing their touch to it and, you know, making it like super, you know, soap opera-y and drama-y and Grey's Anatomy. But they spin it in a little way that I think makes it okay for me. If you like that sort of thing, cool. I hope you're happy and you're getting what you like out of it. I want a little more of the ER style. If you never watched ER, it was a hospital show that ran for like 29 years on NBC. But they got very technical. Towards the end, they got a little drama-y. But I like a little technical stuff. And this episode was very cool because they solved a problem from a young boy from Africa who came here for treatment, and the mother needed a cure or nothing. They couldn't just, you know, stop the problem he was having in his heart with medicine, because they would send them back to their country in Africa. And they don't have good medicine, she was saying. So she needs to be here until they find the cure. So they work their brains as a team, Dr. Sean Murphy and his head of the ER, the main surgeon. And they work together on this wild computer that was like a 3D imaging computer. And they were able to do all these test runs of the actual operation until they got it right and they felt they were confident. And they wound up doing it, and it was a good episode. And Sean grew a lot. You had these moments where he was being suggested that maybe he needs an aid because he's not living right. Because last episode, he was in a grocery store that got robbed. And the guy told him, put your hands up. So he puts his hands up. And then the guy goes, give me your wallet. And he couldn't give him his wallet because he was following the instructions of keeping your hands up. And the guy was not happy. And he wound up flying off around, hitting one of the patrons in the store. And Sean goes on to help them and save them in the hospital. But the main guy, I forget his name, but he's the head of the whole head of the hospital, the president, I guess you call it, the one that brought Sean Murphy in, his like mentor. He's worried that Sean needs help. Now, if you know anybody with, you know, handicaps, especially mental disabilities, sometimes it seems like they don't need assistance, and sometimes it's apparent they need assistance. But sometimes without having assistance or a helper for so long, you feel you're so independent that it's almost insulting, because you're still operating on a certain level that maybe you do have an emotion that can, you know, feel that way, you know, a lot. Sometimes on the spectrum, there's, you know, hardly any emotions, and you know, people with, you know, on certain levels only go by routine, and there's so many different things that, you know, you can have, and quirks and things that bother you. So with, you know, Sean, we're seeing that he feels confident enough to not need an aid. But when you look back, there's a certain things that might help. And so it makes you think as a viewer, which is what I like. And, you know, I have family and friends that have to deal with autism and various mental handicaps and physical handicaps. And I know what it's like to have to deal with certain situations that don't work for some people and work for others. And you have to find that, you know, way in, that one route that is going to work. So for Sean, we're seeing, you know, how that's, you know, going to play out. And now he's also finding out ways and making his own chart of, from advice he's getting about flirting, which is kind of cool. And he's, you know, getting it from his next door neighbor, which I think is a cool way to introduce it. Like, maybe he will fall in love, or maybe he'll just find a good friendship and feel comfort, which is all you really want in this world. You know, sex is amazing, and finding that physical connection is wonderful. But when you have a mental connection with someone, I think that it's one of the best things in the world. It really is a beautiful thing. And, you know, if you don't agree, that's all right. That's why we're here. Hit me up at DJDVRPodcast on Twitter. DJDVRPodcast@gmail.com. You know what to do.
Hey guys, it's your boy DJ Tim Hines here, and I want to take a minute out to let you know about Patreon. That's right, patreon.com/DVR. We have a page that we would like you guys to come over and check out. Sign up, log in, become a patron, get instant access to the podcast as soon as we have them ready, before they hit any of the podcast catcher apps. It goes right to Patreon first. And if you become a Patreon subscriber and you donate and help us out and help the cause, you're going to get access to certain podcasts before anybody else. Sometimes we just throw them up there for everybody. Sometimes we throw them up there as exclusives. You know, we here at the DVR Podcast Network, we're an independent corporation, and we do this as a hobby, as a fun thing, but it costs money to run sites, for equipment, to subscribe to certain networks, to subscribe to certain services, just to watch certain things. So, putting this commercial out there, just to let you guys know that we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/DVR. If you come over there, you can find out about all our other endeavors, like Podcast Winterfell, The Deuce Rethread, Gareth's Waste of Time, The Film List, Westworld Theorycast, even the brand new show by Axel and Sean called Curb Your Podcast, covering Curb Your Enthusiasm. We have some for everybody, and if we don't, tell us. We'll watch it, and we'll make it. That's what we do, especially for patrons. So come on over. Hopefully you could sign up, log in, become a patron, and support the show. Whatever you can contribute is greatly appreciated. Thanks so much. Now we bring you back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, back to the DVR. The DVR. We're here again. All right, when we left off, we were talking about the show. Now we'll talk about another one, The Gifted. I watched another episode. I believe it was like, I don't know the number of this one, but it was called The Threat of Extinction. Every episode they've been doing has like a word with an X in it, and the X is capitalized. All the other words are lowercase. You know, it's a little play on the X-Men and the X-Gene. So I think it's cool. They get some new refugees. Reed visits his dad, who used to work at Trask Industries, who, you know, might have some answers for them. And what he finds out is that his dad was himself a mutant with the X-Gene. His grandparents were mutants, and they were very, very dangerous. In fact, there was articles about them, looked like around the time of, say, like, maybe the 40s or 50s, almost like the scene in the first X-Men movie when Magneto's in the, you know, gets taken, separated from his mother, from the Nazis, in, I believe it was Austria. And it played out, you know, kind of like tied into that, but it didn't really. But if you watch the X-Men, you kind of got that idea that these people are on that level of like a Magneto, something heavy. And he talks about how they combine their powers and what he did at Trask. And what he did, he actually volunteered to be a test subject to get rid of the X-Gene. And he wound up getting rid of it in his son. That's why his son didn't know that anything about this. But unfortunately for him, he found out that it didn't skip a generation. So it's in his grandchildren or Reed's kids. So that was interesting. We find out, you know, how a little bit of the origin, and I like origin stories, you know, sprinkled in. I like serialized stuff a lot more than a procedural, but this show has a good mixture. Every week there's a different problem, and we're having Sentinel Services, you know, getting involved again, and you're finding out what they're doing. I mean, they're giving drugs to the mutants they captured. And that's how they're using them to hunt the other mutants. So they're trying to, you know, help them now, you know, figure out a way to stop this. If they can rescue their friends from Sentinel Services, they'll be able to give them some medicine. I like the way the show's going. It's entertaining. It's in the Marvel Universe. It's in the thread. And I think it's fun. So up next, I'll talk about probably one of the best shows I feel since Game of Thrones. I love Mr. Robot on USA. It is so heavy duty that I can't explain it right. I could tell you what I liked about it, what was amazing. This episode was so heavy. You saw such impact of the ramifications of all the things that they've done, all of phase one and two. You saw so much into the side characters this week. You got a lot of of Elliot and Mr. Robot stuff, but you saw Angela just freaking out, sitting in her apartment, rewinding that one scene of the building collapsing and realizing that she got duped when they told her nobody would get hurt. Everything's going to be clear. Everybody will be all right. And she kept going along with it and helping control Elliot and helping them, you know, get to where they had to get. And she is freaking out. And you see Angela leave. I'm sorry, not Angela. The sister, you see her leave. And it's just like, you realize a whole bunch of time went by and she's still there watching the same clip and the numbers just keep rising and she's, you know, Angela's just freaking out. And, Darlene's the sister's name. So you see that whole thing. Then you realize that the whole setup with, the old friends of Elliot's who helped work when they were, you know, F society, you realize that they were set up and followed this whole time by the Dark Army, and they were just waiting to use them. And they used all this propaganda. They set up all this stuff with the Iranian flag and, you know, put a picture of her in her hijab. And it's just crazy how they had all this set up. And, it, you know, it parallels so many things in our world that we wonder, like, you know, are these really the people who do certain things and commit certain acts that they publicize and, you know, politicize? Or are they just set up? And, you know, are they just props? So you see that come into play, and the Dark Army set all that up, and it was a really impactful episode. This season just had really, really good episodes. As far as the next few episodes, I may talk about them here, or I'm in the works right now. We're drawing up contracts. Our agents are talking, actually. Right, they have a meeting tomorrow. But I might be doing a podcast for the end of season wrap up of Mr. Robot with none other than Mr. Axel Foley. That's right, DVR Podcast's own Axel Foley hit me up and he said, "What do you think about this?" I said, "I'll run it by my guys. I'll call your people tomorrow, and we may be doing this." So if you guys like it, you think it's a good idea, hit us up. You know, djdvrpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Be like, "Yes, please do that, Mr. Robotcast," where we'll delve a little deeper and we'll talk a little heavier. And Axel has a great take on things. I'm more of a casual viewer, whereas I'm not going to look at such crazy meta stuff that this show has in it that I know I'm missing, that I haven't listened to any podcast this year to inform me on. So hopefully we can get together, combine brains, and Voltron this bitch out. And yeah, well, Mr. Robot it. You get it? Like a Voltron robot? I don't know if you guys picked that shit up. I'm an old guy. I don't know if you guys know Mr. Voltron, you know? But he was around when Mr. Robot was alive. So if you follow Mr. Robot, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right. I'm rambling on about Mr. Robot. But yeah, we want to do that. So let's get into the next show. Next show, I watched two episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh boy. Curb Your Podcast has been such a great companion with Curb Your Enthusiasm. Now, I got to apologize to anybody out there in the DVR podcast community. You may have heard that I was a possible fill-in for Sean this week. I couldn't make it. Sean couldn't make it. Axel ran solo. And I got to say, I was yelling at him in the car, you know, on his points about certain scenes in the episodes. And it's actually funny as hell. Like, just to be on that level. I don't know if you guys do that with podcasts. You might yell at me or laugh out loud sometimes. I do this shit a lot. And thankfully, I listen to podcasts in my car a lot by myself when I'm driving and commuting. But sometimes I laugh, you know, at work. People are like, "What's so funny?" I'm like, "Nothing. Keep working. That's what we're here for. Don't ask me so many questions." Nah, I'm not rude like that. I just laugh and be like, "You sure?" And keep moving. But shit's funny. So these episodes, I'm going to talk about them. I might, you know, hit a couple topics. But the episodes that I watched Never Wait for Seconds, which was last week. And then this week's was The Shucker. So Never Wait for Seconds. This was the one Axel reviewed by himself. And it was funny. It was a little too all over the place, too many locations for me, but it had some good real-life points, and one of them that I want to bring up, which is actually about the, you know, in the title, Never Wait for Seconds. They're at a buffet, and people are standing online, And yeah, I don't know how they got called. They didn't show that, but they're online. And somebody walks up and there's a debate and Larry takes a stand and he goes, you know what? This man shouldn't have to wait online. He just wants to come back and get another piece of whatever he was getting and move on. And he like makes this whole tirade and like takes a stand on, you know, never waiting in line for seconds. So it winds up working in his favor. And the guy was, you know, down with like the whole fatwa, down to get to the, you know, some kind of way to get into the Ayatollah. And they did a whole thing with interviewing people about, you know, how Larry is. And it was funny as hell. But back to the buffet. So as you know, I'm a DJ. Is one of my many hats. Oh, I don't know if you could figure it out. The podcast is called Inside DJ's DVR, and my name's Tim. So it's not even close to my initials. But you know the story. If you don't, go back to episode one. But so I do this DJ thing. I play music. I work a lot of parties. A lot of them are sit-downs, but a lot of them are buffets. I've been to a lot of parties. A lot of buffets. Now, I don't really go out to buffet-style restaurants often. That's not really something I'm into. But I do partake at parties and events in the buffet. So I've seen how this goes down. Now, I happen to be under the rule of thought that when you're, you know, as a DJ, so depending on the size of the party or depending how the host or the maitre d' tells me, they say, call up the table, call up a side, say everybody, the buffet is open. Everything's different at the party. But I will say this, no matter how you go, if you're all at once, table, however, you wait in line a second time at the end. There's none of this bullshit walking right up and grabbing something else. There's one time that that's acceptable is if you forgot a plate, a fork, a knife. Well, obviously you wouldn't forget a plate because you got to get the shit off the buffet. But you might have not grabbed the napkin, the fork, the knife. You might have not seen the basket with the bowl of bread, the bowl with the bread. All right, you can grab that. I'll give you a pass on that. But no way in hell you cut me and get online for the carving station and say, oh, I just want two more pieces of prime rib. What? Are you crazy? First of all, we don't know that there's enough for your second plate, jackass. So let's feed all the you know, guests first. All right. So like there's a rule. Get to the back of the line. You want a seconds? Go to the back of the line because obviously everybody's called. Now, if they're doing table by table and then you're done with your food and they're like still on table 4 or 5, whatever, you can't get back online yet. You got to wait till they finish with all the tables, then you get back online. Like I said, if you need the exception food, maybe the salad might be an exception too. I might put the salad, depending where it's located, in the buffet configuration. All right, so Axel's under the assumption that it's cool to just go grab some more potatoes and shit. That's fine, but you don't understand what goes into planning parties, I guess, Axel Folo. So I've seen it. I've seen it time again. I know how these things work. A lot of times, if it's a buffet style, they order enough with a caterer or the hall that does it for as many people as they have. If it's table service, same thing. They tell the hall, I got 190 people. They make 190 people. Then they say, how many people are with your DJ entertainment? How many are photographers? And they jack them up for that. I don't know if they do that by you, wherever you live, here in New York. They pop you for everything. So they always make sure the DJ and the crew have a plate. So we get fed. So no matter what it is, we're getting fed somehow. So they have enough food for the room. Maybe they make a few extra in case stragglers come. But if everybody comes up for seconds before everybody gets served, there's not enough food. Now you got people pissed. Like, what kind of cheapskates running this party? I don't even have a plate. Like, it's bad for the host. So now you just, A, broke line etiquette, because nowhere else they just like, yeah, come on, come in front of me, especially not at the DMV or supermarket. So I don't know what planet Axel's living in, nice guy land there over there, but over here on this coast, the East Coast, that's not happening. So That's rule etiquette number one. You just broke the cut in line rule. Second etiquette rule, you just getting more food before I had any food. That's bullshit. Third rule, you're making the host look bad. So rethink that stuff. So that episode was funny as hell. It reminded me of the cookie episode with the cooking cookie and tongs, because I recently went to a wedding, and with the cookies, there was tongs, and I laughed my ass off. And it was the Viennese hour, and you go there, and it's all dessert, and it's buffet style. I didn't cut nobody. I waited in line like everybody else. You get last in line, that sucks for you. You got a cane, sorry. You got to wait, but I got there first. You know, I see candy and you know, cake and cookies, I put the hustle on. You see salad and shrimp and stuff, you might put the hustle on. You know, I got the sweet tooth. So that, you know, episode was real funny. And, you know, I hit that debate up. I was yelling at Axel in the car. I think he's wrong. He gave Larry the pass, and he thinks Larry's right. If you guys want to, you know, get at us, hit us up at DJ DVR Podcast on Twitter, DJ DVR Podcast at Gmail, or on the Facebook page, facebook.com/DJ DVR Podcast. So the next episode was the Shucker. Oh boy. So find out there's a party. Larry's got to go on the fatwa play. Only deal is they got to get Lin-Manuel Miranda in there from Hamilton. He's bringing it to L.A. apparently. So they got him on the episode, and it was funny as hell because they brought in what was going on in the plot along with awkward office scenarios. You know, there's a reason your boss sits behind a desk with a chair taller than yours. It's a power move. It's a classic power move. And the struggle to get that chair was hilarious. Lin wouldn't sit with them in the conference seats. He wouldn't sit, you know, they didn't sit around a conference table. He wanted the hand. So it just started off funny there. And you had this whole Shucker thing where this Shucker, professional Shucker, if you don't know what that is, it's someone who opens up shellfish and serves it. So he must have, you know, hired these guys for a party. This guy comes and they serve you shellfish, and he opens it, you know, perfectly, you know, plates it nicely, and you have these beautiful crustaceans that you eat. I wouldn't be at this party. I'd be eating like breadsticks and croutons, but you know, I'll hang out, whatever. But I think it's a fine art. My father's amazing at it, and he doesn't get paid for it. He just does it so he can eat clams and oysters and shellfish. But that's a whole nother podcast. So yeah, the Shucker episode, he, you know, says some stuff at the dinner party, and he's like, is there some kind of like, you know, etiquette of not talking about what you hear at parties when you're shucking? And the guy's like, get me some tickets to see Hamilton. And he's like, all right, I'll try to get you tickets. Can't get the tickets. Finally, he says, they're for me, gets the tickets. Then he has to take them back. The guy leaves his hat. Well, Jeff takes the hat. Well, this makes his wife super horny. He's getting it every night until she sprains his Johnson. Oh, come in, Leon. He says, oh, yeah, there's a chiropractor for that. Which just, oh, Larry almost laughed out loud. I don't even know if that was written in, but it was amazing. Like, that was, there's a lot of scenes this episode, this whole season, actually, where you could tell, like, they're all laughing. So it just must be so much fun on set. But he says that shit, and Jeff's like, I can't take it. He gives Larry this hat back. It turns out it was the Shucker's hat. Larry thinks he's doing a solid, gives the Shucker his hat back. End of the episode, the Shucker is banging Jeff's wife because she's cheating on him. And that's why she got so turned on, because this guy wears the hat while he bangs her. Oh, good, good shit. The whole come around, the full circle. I love, love, love comedy that comes full circle. And it just ties into so many things, this episode. And next episode is the season finale, and I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it ending. I hope they sign on for more. I've enjoyed very much listening to Curb Your Podcast with Sean and Axel. Those guys, they're just funny, and they talk about it in a great way. Axel doesn't get a lot of my jokes, but for some reason he gets Larry's jokes. And I think maybe if he like thought about me more in the frame of mind when I talk like Larry, maybe he would get it more, because I'm a little twisted and dark, and Axel, you know, only likes this like really high-end humor. So I try to bring it, but sometimes I get like dad joke level and he thinks I'm an ass. But I do my thing. I like to be funny. I like to think that I'm a funny guy. I came in fourth runner-up in my high school for funniest person in the superlatives for the yearbook. You know, I guess I wasn't that funny then, but I'm trying. I'm trying so hard to be funny, you know, but sometimes they don't work, but I try. You know, you just got to get back up on the bike, fall off. But I'm no Larry, but I try to make everybody laugh if I can. If I can't, fuck you if you can't take a joke. That's what I say. I've said that for years. I've been in this game for years. It's made me an animal. Yeah. So speaking of animals. All right. I didn't realize I watched so much this week. I thought it was going to be like 10 minutes of talk. And I'm going to bring you a whole episode of The Punisher. Apparently, I went for like a long time talking about stuff. And I watched a lot of stuff that I didn't realize I watched. And I had a lot to talk about. So, Punisher, let's get to it. I'm going to talk about it briefly. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to go heavy into it. But what I am going to do is I'm going to open up an opportunity. So here we go. The Punisher is on Netflix. It's an amazing show. I, as you might have heard in a couple episodes, maybe even this episode, love Marvel. Have a big, huge heart for Marvel. Marvel just excites me. Anything Marvel. I even the shitty stuff. I like it all because I like the lore and how it all ties together. To me, that's brilliant and it's fun. And I like I said earlier, I love serialized stuff more than, you know, procedural stuff and, you know, sitcom-y stuff. So I like anything that connects. I like comedy full circle. I like my shows full circle. I like my comics first full circle. Marvel brings that big time. So when Netflix took on a bunch of shows, they started off slow. Daredevil. Then they gave Jessica Jones. Then they gave Daredevil second season. Then they gave Luke Cage. Then they gave Iron Fist. Then they put the Defenders, which put them all. But in the second season of Daredevil, they did something really cool. They brought the Punisher in. The Punisher and the Daredevil have always been frenemies for as long as I've been reading comics. And to me, it's one of the greatest dynamics that Marvel has, because there's so many things to Frank Castle that are good and bad and are up for debate. And there's so many things that Daredevil does that are mostly good and some things up for debate. But Daredevil is like the angel on the shoulder of a vigilante, and Punisher is like the devil on the shoulder of a vigilante. But the funny part is they're both on the hero side of vigilanteism, which is crazy. I'm going to get into it when we talk more. So what I mean by talking more is I'm going to shelve the Punisher podcast for next time. I'm going to probably do like a whole show on this Punisher show. It was a 13 episode show, airs on Netflix, came out like 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe not even a week ago. John Bernthal is the main character, plays Frank Castle. Showrunner Steve Lightfoot, he did Hannibal. He does a terrific job. There's 13 episodes, 11 different directors, 11 different writers. And the writers all collaborated together. They worked together. There wasn't like 11 per episode. So they all collaborated. The directors, you know, did their thing. Some repeat directors, but it was really good. So here's where I'm leading with this. I want you to try to catch up. So I'm going to do the Punisher episode. It'll be tagged Punisher. It'll be a solo thing. When I do it, hopefully you're caught up. I'm going to do it like a week or so. I'll put it out bookmark it if you didn't watch The Punisher yet. Catch up. Send me emails. Send me info. Send me stuff. DJDVRpodcast@gmail.com. Facebook.com/DJDVRpodcast. @DJDVRpodcast on Twitter. Hit me up. Let me know something about The Punisher. I got a lot of tidbits. I got a lot to talk about. I'm going to go into a little of my comic history. I'm going to go into a little of my Marvel history. I'm going to go into some Punisher history. I'm going to do I can't use big words. I'm like the ultimate layman podcaster. I'm going to do some comparisons to the Punisher in the book and the Punisher on the show. And we'll talk Punisher. It's awesome. I really loved it. I love the depth of it. I love the non-glorification of the violence, but still the violence of impact when it was needed and it felt necessary. I love the acting. I love Netflix. It's a really good service. I just wished I didn't get this email last week that said they're raising their rates. $1 a month. It's bullshit. Oh, man, it is bullshit. All right, so that's where we're at. Scratch my head. I don't know if you hear that on the mic. I just scratched my head because that's where I'm thought. I wrote 3 pages of notes on The Punisher. I used the first line. So I didn't even use notes this cast. I talked about the shows I watched off the top of the dome. Brought it to you a little raw, a little, you know, rough around the edges. Not so polished, but I brought it. I've been meaning to get it. Long week, holiday weekend. No excuse for my fans, but it's still an excuse. So, you know, we'll say back to the old adage, fuck you if you can't take a joke. You know what? I won't say fuck you because it's kind of like really harsh. I'll say screw you if you can't take a joke. You know, it's the old saying as it goes. It wasn't really a joke that I didn't put a podcast out, but I might be a joke of a podcaster depending on how many ratings I get. I haven't gotten that many yet. I need you guys on that. Spread the word. Spread the podcast. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, Blue Note, Bluetooth, Blueberry, Blue Nuts, Blue Pod. All these things you could get to. Rate me. Leave some feedback with words. Could be any language. It could be any kind of words. The more words, the more they recognize the podcast, that people actually listen and it's not like some bot clicking shit. And I might get noticed by more people and more people could join the community and they could be like, listen, I heard what Peter said and I like that show and I think that you should talk more about that show or whatever. Imagine the cool scenarios that could happen. That's what could happen. Use your imagination. Bring me some feedback. Bring me some knowledge. Give me some likes. Let me know if you want this thing to go down with Mr. Robot. Oh, speaking of the Filet of Fish, we got one no on the Filet of Fish. You guys sucked on that campaign. So, Filet of Fish sucks because I voted no too because I hate that. It's terrible. I would never eat it. I'd never eaten it. Would never put it in my mouth. First of all, I don't like cheese. Second of all, I don't like that gook they put on it. Third of all, I would never trust where the hell that fish came from, how long it's been there. And fuck eating McDonald's fish. I live about 1.5 miles from the water and about 3.5 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. I don't need that bullshit. I can go to a fish market. I could go fishing. I could just not eat fish. Fuck it. I call a shucker up. Be like, yo, shucker, motherfucker, come over and bring the guy from the Cardinals, their linebacker, Frosty Rucker. Oh, shit. Maybe I could rhyme. I'm doing the next 8 mile part two. I'm going to call it 0.5 miles, the mini marathon, the longest I could run. I go the distance. That's about it because I'm out of shape, but I keep skinny. Ain't it great? I don't know how I do it, but one day I'm going to get fat, and one day I'm going to talk about it in all my raps. Damn, DJ, bringing it to you. That's been an episode of DJ's DVR. Oh, I got the name wrong. What an asshole. Inside DJ's DVR. Can't even get my own podcast right. My mouth is dry from talking this much. I'm going to take a sip on air because I don't care because I got no hair and the rest is gray. So what do you say? Leave me some feedback tomorrow, today,
any day that ends in Y, because I'm that kind of guy. Because I could talk just like this, and if you don't like it, I got an ass you could kiss. So peace out, Cub Scout. Take care, comb your hair. Do the right thing, be right to others. Treat people right, and you'll be treated right back. Pay it forward, you know what I'm saying? Hakuna Matata, motherfuckers. Peace, I'm out. Maybe see ya. Patreon.com/DVR. Hook us up, make a donation. We love yous if you do. And we still love you if you don't. Spread love. That's what we do. Everywhere on Earth. Penguins in Antarctica spreading love. You could do it here, where you're listening to this podcast. This has been a message sponsored by Tim Hines. I'm out.